I spoke with Keir, LifeSIL's executive director, and Beneke, its disability rights advocate, at their Bloomington office, where the phones ring constantly with individuals seeking help or advice. 11 months into this fiscal year, LifeSIL is still waiting for nearly $200,000 it is owed by the state and needs to run its programs full-time. The agency has reduced staff. Its offices are now open 4 days a week in Bloomington and only 3 days a week in Livingston County. Keir says because of the reduced hours, some residents with disabilities who need help have to wait up to 4 days for a response.
Many times, by the time they find out they've been denied something, it's kind of an emergency. They're going to lose their housing and they're going to become homeless. They're, you know, going to lose their educational services, whatever. And that's kind of an emergency. And if it happens on Thursday night or Friday, we're not here.
So then what do they do?
They would have to wait, or hopefully that maybe they know a lawyer friend that might be able to help them. We don't give legal advice, but maybe they know somebody else who works in the field. But most of the time, they don't. Most of the time when they need something, they like coming here, first of all, because we have what's called peer mentoring. It's kind of over half of our staff and board of directors are people with disabilities ourselves. And so we're able to offer that peer mentoring to them instead of a case management, like the old medical model type caseworkers. We're able to assist them and talk through things, having a been there, done that.
That's a very important point.
Another thing that's not available on Fridays that can also be time sensitive for people, we have a program in which we loan various durable medical equipment for free, such as bath benches and shower chairs, wheelchairs, walkers, portable commodes, and many times people will be discharged from a hospital on a Friday or have just been injured and need to have that type of equipment to help them make it through their day and their weekend at home. And we're not open on Fridays during this impasse. And that's going to cost people either in the money it takes to go buy or rent that stuff or in struggling through a weekend.
I know you have a confidentiality issue, but can you talk about some specific examples, some real life cases of people that have been affected?
Because we have lost two positions and have had to cut back on staff hours with virtually everyone else on staff, we were forced to suspend our educational advocacy services. And what this means is that parents who have children with disabilities in the schools will often call us and say, the school wants to suspend or expel my child for this disability-related behavior. Is that legal? Can they do that? Well, the answer generally is no, they can't. And or they may have requested a disability accommodation or something in an individual educational plan, and the school is not wishing to provide that service, and they will call and ask, is it my right to ask for this? How do I advocate for my child? And over the years, we've seen some pretty significant needs related to that program, and we have had to suspend it indefinitely because of our shrinking resources during this impasse.
It seemed as though the people hardest hit in this impasse are the people who are most vulnerable. Is there a moral question here about what we should be doing as a society?
We should be putting aside our political differences and stop the fighting and the pointing fingers and the blaming and sitting down together at the table and working to get this budget done, which is what these legislators were elected to do, and they are not doing. I don't know about you, but I know if I had something to do at my job and 10 months down the road, it still passed the deadline, wasn't done, I would not have my job anymore. And the fact that these people are elected officials and they're not doing their job and they're hurting so many thousands of people in the process and they still have their job, that is the moral issue.
But Gail, it seems as if they came in with this agenda, not looking at other things, but immediately going to the social programs.
They say there are two ways that you get political power. You either have a lot of money to donate to political parties and political causes, or you can control very large blocks of voters. And many times people who are poor, who have disabilities, who are somewhat disenfranchised, have neither. And therefore, it's probably considered politically safer to balance the budgets on their backs. It's unfortunate that the governor and members of the General Assembly do not, I think they all know that it takes more money than Illinois currently brings in to pay for the things that the state needs and that its citizens want to be provided. But they don't want to wear the jacket as a political party or as a politician, don't want to wear the jacket for being the one who supported a tax increase. And I think what they are perhaps not recognizing is how many of us voters out there would respect them more if they just said, this is what's needed, and they made the case for why the state needs more revenue.
Gail, you showed me a statistic one time as to how much more it would cost if someone was living in an institution versus living independently.
Nursing homes cost an average of about $53,000 a year, and state institutional care is probably $130,000 or more per year per person in a cost. And the cost for people to be maintained in independent living in the community is probably $20,000 range. That is a gigantic saving in tax dollars.
It sounds like the two of you are saying it's time for people who work with those who have disabilities, their families, to really do something about changing the politicians that we have, changing the faces in the state legislature, is what I'm getting to from you.
I would say it's more of holding them accountable. They need to be held accountable for their actions. They are supposed to be going to Springfield, taking the voices of the people that they represent back and doing what's best for their constituents. And from what I've seen, they're not doing that. We have had a lot of outcry through many different districts, not just in ours, but throughout the state, of people going to the legislators and saying, we need to find a way to get this budget done. It's hurting too many people, and everything that you want to cut, all the services that you want to cut, are harming even more people, not only the people that the businesses serve, but the businesses themselves.
This has been going on a long time. How do you hold them accountable, if not in the voting booth, at the ballot box?
It's in the voting booth and the ballot box. It's how you hold them accountable.